Locked On 49ers live stream. Welcome to all those live with us on YouTube, and hello to those of you on Friday, maybe on your way to work, in the car, on all of your favorite podcast apps. Talking NFL draft prospects today. One very special quarterback pro day to get into, and Deebo Samuel scrubbing the Niners from his social media. Are we really going through this? All that and more coming up right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker at BB Peacock at Eric underscore Crocker on Twitter. See some folks jumping into the chat and onto the live stream already. Welcome to all of you. We're going to have a little bit of fun today. Croc and I have some prospects that we've been watching a little bit of that film on, grinding some of that tape. And we'll talk about some of those players that could be around for the 49ers on day two of the NFL draft, where coincidentally they have a bunch of draft picks and none in round one. So we'll see who's there for the 49ers. We'll see if Croc and I like or dislike any of these prospects that we're seeing the names of thrown around in different mock drafts and different scenarios for the 49ers in rounds two and round three. And I have a feeling some folks in the chat are going to ask about Deebo Samuel. What's going on there? We talked a lot about Deebo yesterday, Croc, and he's doing some social media weirdness, as we've seen from some young men in the league when they have contracts up and some of those things. So of course, I'm sure that will come up. I do want to thank everybody for making us your first listen every day here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Woo! Are you getting pumped for the NFL draft yet, Croc? Because we're getting close, and I know you're doing a lot of work and a lot of podcasting, and the Niners don't have a first-round pick. We talked a little bit about the first-round FOMO a couple of days ago with Wink on Wednesday, and I know you're covering a ton of the draft for Locked On NFL Draft now this season, but it's starting to come up quick, and I feel like this is one of the fastest-moving off-seasons in a while. It's like, oh, man, it's already 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away from the NFL draft, 21 days.
Well, doing a draft show, it's been draft season for me since September, August. So I've kind of been tuned in. I'm ready for it to just come and go and see where a lot of these guys land. And I think that's the most important spot. A lot of people, you know, they know about the draft and guys end up working out or not working out, whatever the situation is. But a lot of it has to do with, you know, what's the landing spot? That plays a big part in the whole thing. What's the plan for that player at their landing spot? 49ers drafted Aaron Banks last year. Some people might have thought he was really good. Would he fit better in more of a power scheme system as opposed to what he is with the 49ers, where he wasn't even able to see the field?
So looking ahead to what the 49ers needs are now in 2022 and seeing how a lot of those early picks didn't play a lot last year, were the 49ers looking ahead with that draft? And was the plan all along for Aaron Banks to be playing left guard this year, for Trey Lance to be playing quarterback this year and not so much about 2021? And so is it not really a big deal that some of the guys didn't really play that much in their rookie seasons last year, Croc?
Not as much. I mean, some guys, when you're drafted pretty high like that second round, I think there's something there. You know, it's pretty rare. Matter of fact, I mean, I heard the stat, and I think I said it on an earlier episode, but there's only one player – one second-round player that played less snaps than Aaron Banks. And it was a quarterback. That was like the fourth-string quarterback. You know what I'm saying? So there's something to him not playing where you should be somewhat worried. But at the end of the day, if you're someone like me who definitely believes in the power of development, you know, hopefully he took this offseason to take the steps in the right direction for what they want for him. And like other people, we talked about Trey Lance, he's going to have an opportunity. Well, Aaron Banks is going to have an opportunity too. I believe that this is going to be his job until it's not. They want to be right about him. They want Aaron Banks to win this job, but it's on him to put himself in position to do so.
We're seeing it already in the chat, Croc, talking about what's going on with Deebo. And let's see. At Brian and Croc, do you think we take an offensive player or a defensive player with our first pick? What do you think? Offense or defense, Croc?
Best player available on your board. I feel like when you force something, when you reach for something, you end up taking someone that's necessarily, you know, maybe not going to get on the field or something, you know, like maybe a guy where, you know, you could have gotten something a little bit better. Think about what they did to get Trey Sermon. Did they reach for Trey Sermon? Did they feel like, oh, we just have to have this guy and kind of force that pick? Oh, we need a running back. Raheem Mostert, we need somebody behind him. Somebody's going to be the long-term guy, and it's like, oh, well, I think it's Trey Sermon. I think he fits. And it's like, well, you don't even use him at all. And then your sixth-round pick ends up being the guy that almost runs 4,000 yards.
Don't fans understand Debo's under contract for another year? Chill, people.
Right.
Has anything happened with any of these players? Because it seems to happen all the time. And it's weird that it's happened to a 49er player. I didn't expect Debo to be the type of guy to, you know, be dramatic about anything. Take 49ers out of his bio, change his Twitter picture. Like, it's kind of weird, right? Like, I don't think it matters. I'm not worried about it at all. I not only is it not a big deal, it's not a deal at all to me. I'm not even thinking about it. And I wasn't going to bring it up today, but apparently people are making a huge deal about it because I wasn't really on social media a lot today to see, you know, the fervor. I just saw that somebody brought it up. And I was like, oh, yeah, whatever, no big deal. But people are taking it seriously. And I, like, I don't know what that means. Like, does that mean his agent had talked to the Niners and the Niners like, yeah, we don't really want to talk about a new deal yet? And then all of a sudden he relays that to Debo and Debo's super pissed off about it. Or is like, if it was me, I would totally screw with people. I'd do all kinds of crazy stuff on social
media. He might be doing
it. It makes such a big deal out of it. It's so funny.
Yeah, the 49er fans react to everything he does. You know, he posted the thing about looking for a house in Miami, and then the 49er fans were like, oh, no. Then he's like, relax, everything's not about football. And, you know, I train out there. So, I mean, he understands the pulse of the fans and how they react to things, and he could be messing with everybody, trolling everybody. I wouldn't look too much into it. Obviously, we talked about it yesterday just for, you know, off-season talk, but it's not something I'd be too worried about.
Well, yeah. Well, and yesterday we're talking about all the serious side of things. What it would look like with his contract? When would be a good time to sign? Do you think he's looking for more guarantees? You know, press his luck going into the last year of his contract, those types of things. When it comes to like changing your social bios, like I don't even know where to go with that. Does it matter? Is it that big of a deal? I wouldn't, if Croc took, I don't even, Croc, do you even have Locked On 49ers in your Twitter bio? Because if you did and took it out, I wouldn't notice and I wouldn't care. I would just, not enough characters. He wants to put something else in there.
Yeah, I got locked on 49ers, locked on NFL draft.
Okay. Look at that. Good. Yeah, see?
Representing the home team.
Yeah. You represent.
Yeah.
There's no now, picture of here's you the, here's the other 49ers question. Gear, though, in your photo.
Here's the other thing. I just today started following the Locked On Network. So Locked On Network has been following me. If someone would have searched up yesterday, they might have thought there was trouble in paradise with myself in the Locked On Network because I wasn't following them. It wasn't until the whole Debo thing came out. And I clicked on the Locked On Network. I'm like, wait, I'm not following them this whole time. So I hit that follow button. Trouble in paradise. There's no issues with me and the Locked On Network. I can promise that.
Symmetry 7 in the chat says, apparently Debo never followed the Niners on Instagram in the first place.
I don't know. I always thought it was weird that people kind of like, how do you find out? How do you find that out? So, I mean, I know how now. I saw somebody like go and do it. They went, they searched it. And so I see how they do it now. But it's just like, what makes you go and do that? Like, do you go through every player? Like, is George Kittle following the 49ers? Let me search and look.
Oh, I wouldn't even have Trey a Lance clue, you know? Know where even any of that would begin. Let's see. What about Sky Moore? I was thinking about Sky Moore. I've been watching a lot about more prospects, and we're going to really start getting deeper into the prospects and talk more about specific players, including on today's show. And he says, laugh out loud, I'm biased for Sky Moore. I drafted him in Madden, and I was about to trade Ayuk because of it. So go get Sky Moore. So last year, or no, not last year, 2020, the 2020 draft, I after watching all the wide receivers, thought the 49ers were in the wide receiver market, and I thought the Niners were going to be in that spot at pick 13 to go with either Debo or CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy. I thought that was the selection when the 49ers had the mid-first round pick from DeForest Buckner. But I did say the players that I thought would be Kyle Shanahan guys were Brandon Ayuk, Van Jefferson, and I thought he would really like the foot quickness and the separation ability of Jerry Jeudy and his run after catch ability too, because you know he took some short passes to the house, and we haven't seen enough of that in the NFL. He doesn't run with as much power as someone like Debo, but you know he was slippery when he get the ball in space. You know, blasphemy, but Jerry Rice, like, you know, and Jerry Rice would take a, you know, like deer like strides after catching, you know, a slant and taking it to the house. And you used to see that at Alabama with Jeudy, but Ayuk was clearly a Shanahan guy. And I thought Van Jefferson was going to be a Kyle Shanahan guy. And there's a few more players. And right now, number one on the list would probably be Sky Moore. For a player that Kyle Shanahan right now is like going to be yelling at after Thursday night is over, he's going to be pacing the room, not being able to go to sleep, and he's going to be telling John Lynch, we need to trade up for Sky Moore. Like, Sky Moore, I think, is the most Shanahan receiver in this class. Do you agree, Croc?
I like him. You talk about someone who has the quicks, right? Quick feet, separation ability, a guy that you work to just get the ball in his hands, run after catch ability, like you said. He also has some deep threat to him, ability to catch the ball vertically down the field. Obviously, the speed, he's a guy that ran in the 4.3s at Indy, which I mean, a lot of people did. But, you know, you see him be able to play with that type of speed. He almost looks like a faster version of Golden Tate. Like, that's kind of what it looks like. Like, how he's built. Not as squatty as like a Deebo Samuel, but, you know, kind of a little bit thicker, but definitely has that, you know, he's a pure receiver. And yeah, maybe some of it is him wearing the jersey number he wears. That might have something to do with it, where you kind of, you know, Golden Tate, he wore that number 23.
Yeah.
You know, Sky Moore wears that number 24. But, you know, he follows me on Twitter. I didn't even notice that at first. But
Sky Moore?
Sky Moore, not Golden Tate.
All right, I want to get to some of those specific prospects coming up, and Croc doesn't know about it, but maybe one quarterback prospect as well coming up in the NFL draft that I want to cover on today's show. We didn't talk about him. An interesting pro day workout, but I do want to let the folks out there know about betonline.net, your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information this season. And I know it's not football season, but there's plenty to bet on as it pertains to the NFL, like Super Bowl futures and draft props. Tons of draft props out there that you can have a ton of fun with and make a little bit of money. If you listen to this show, you probably get some nuggets and you'll be pretty well informed on some bets that could be winners as it pertains to the NFL draft and some of those draft props. Find all the latest sports developments, including the Masters Championship odds this weekend, podcasts, reviews, news, all kinds of angles for all the different leagues this season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, live betting, and esports. So get over to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action at BetOnline, where the game starts. Thanks for making Locked On 49ers your first listen every day, by the way. And make sure you're following Locked On NFL. Locked On experts covering the biggest stories around the NFL every Monday through Friday in less than 30 minutes. Tons of draft coverage as well and live draft coverage. And you might see Croc and I on the Locked On NFL channel over draft weekend at some point. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast, just like this program is. The 49ers did sign a player Thursday, Marcus Johnson, wide receiver, journeyman's been around undrafted in 2016 to Philadelphia, to Indy. Last year played with the Tennessee Titans, a handful of catches during his NFL career. Will compete for, you know, a roster spot for the 49ers. We'll go back and watch a little bit more of him. I don't have much to say about that prospect, but how about a quarterback prospect that we can talk about right now with a secret special guest today? And Eric Crocker's very own quarterback coach, the guru, Greg Pennelly, to give us his thoughts on what was really the most important pro day, I think, in this draft process, the pro day of Eric Crocker that was held at. What field was that pro day held at, by the way, in the state of Arkansas?
That was Benton High School indoor facility. Shout out to my guy, Greg. That was a surprise. Yeah, I didn't know anything about this.
Hey, you know what? We had to make it happen for Croc. That was something we've been working on for a while. Getting Croc on video, getting him into some throws instead of him maybe kicking the ball in the backyard in his Crocs or whatever it may be. We had to put him to the test. So it was good. We went out there. I went out there for the Kentucky Pro Day, and on the way there, I stopped in Arkansas and obviously linked up with Croc.
Hold on, you kind of glossed over something. You say you're there for the Kentucky Pro Day, but you trained a quarterback for the Pro Day, got him all ready. You had his script put together and everything. And, I mean, you were the – when everybody was watching Kentucky's Pro Day on TV, maybe they were paying attention to the receiver that they have there. No, I'm blanking on his name, but
Wandale Robinson.
Receiver. Wandale Robinson and all those guys. But you were there on the field constructing the throws and everything for the quarterback. So that's a big deal, man.
Yeah, no, it was a good time. I had linked up with Terry Wilson, who was the Kentucky quarterback 2018, 2019, 2020. Kind of got the program turned around there at Kentucky. That was like their first 10-win season. I found out that was their first 10-win season they had since, I think it was 76. Terry ended up getting hurt the next year, tore his patellar tendon, then played the next year thereafter. Offense was a little bit shaky, wanted to give himself a better opportunity, so he left and hit the portal, which the transfer portal, as you guys know, is just batshit crazy these days. Nobody really knows what the hell is going on in the portal. Like, money's being tossed around this direction and deals in this direction and promises here and there. So he ends up transferring late, goes to New Mexico. So he calls Kentucky, and they allowed him to go back to Kentucky and throw the pro day since they didn't have a quarterback there. It was fun to go back. He's definitely big time there at the University of Kentucky. So Coach Stoops, Scangarella, who was the Niners quarterback coach for the last couple of years, is now their quarterback coach and offensive coordinator. So I got to talk to him a little bit. And just basically for the last 10 weeks, we've been training, getting ready for pro day. Got his script ready to go, obviously. Got Wandell's stuff ready to go for him. He was in Arizona training at Exos, doing his thing before the combine, and then showed up a week before and threw with Terry. And then I think he's going to be coming out here actually in a couple of weeks and start training out here for a week or two with Terry, and just to kind of change the scenery up a little bit. So
hold on to more important things, how my pro day went. But first, we have to say, because there are people who are talking about me in the comments, and they're like, oh, look at that hitch in your throw, or oh, that hospital ball, or they're saying all these things, but they don't know. Like, we didn't really – you put a script together just because I always talk about how I could throw the football around. And it wasn't like – it's like, oh, yeah, like I've been training with Greg to, like, be a real quarterback or something like that. That day I went out a few times, and there were some things – I was really working with the receivers. He was working with the quarterbacks. And then every once in a while I'll jump in line with the quarterbacks and do a little something. But – it's not like we prepared for any of it.
No.
Yeah, you could tell Croc that you didn't prepare for that.
this was one of those things where let's do a pro day script tomorrow for the Twitter world, and all these Niner fans could see you actually get after it a little bit. So when he got there, we didn't really train. He jumped in a few drills, and I do have some videos from those drills, and I'll post them from time to time. But the biggest thing I saw from Croc when he showed up was the lack of drip.
The drip doctor too? Oh, Croc's going to take offense to that because he always crushes other guys for his swag. Absolutely. And now he's getting crushed by his quarterback's coach for his swag.
He has roasted me for years about my swag, about the white cleats at JC. And I told him the reason why I wore the white cleats. The rain game, I had other cleats. It rained. I needed the detachable spikes. Went down the street, and those are the only ones they had. And then we went undefeated the rest of the year. So, I was going to wear the white cleats. But Crocker shows up with his standard soccer cleats, which Crocker always wore the soccer cleats playing football. Not sure a football guy wearing soccer cleats. It is what it is. I get it. They're lighter. They look better with a spat. He was wearing some, like, Big 5 Adidas soccer cleats, maybe, like, 40, 50 bucks, something like I'd get my son. Okay. Then the biggest thing. He's working with receivers that day, and he has no gloves. You would think Crocker, the swag daddy, swaggy Croc, whatever you want to call him, would have some gloves, no gloves. So I gave him some white Nike gloves. So he was rocking white Nike gloves with black Adidas cleats. He had the white socks on. He did have the Niners shirt and the Niners hat on, so I'll give him that. But I had to make sure I laid into him a little bit for his lack of swag.
Yeah. Were you a little bit worried when he bounced that first slant and didn't even do the play action that he was supposed to do? He was like, okay, this guy maybe he doesn't quite get it upstairs, can't even get the script down, and then he's one hopping a guy on a 5-yard pass. Were you a little bit worried at the beginning of that workout?
I'll be honest, before we did the workout, I was excited to see Croc do the script, and he honestly did better than I had anticipated him doing. I think overall it wasn't bad. He does have this weird little hitch. It's almost like a Trey Lance hitch where he goes up and he'll just drop the ball straight down and just go straight back up. And so it's that wasted motion for no reason. But we did do a couple drills. I had him close his front shoulder off and get more use out of his body. And I think that he even saw a little bit more pop on the ball. But overall, I think we trained maybe 15 minutes, 10 minutes for this thing collectively while I was working with the other quarterbacks there. And so I was more excited, I think, that he actually showed out a little bit on Twitter. I think the laggy Twitter video might hide some of the ducks that were thrown. But overall, it wasn't bad, man. He honestly surprised me a little.
I will say this, and I always tell everyone, when it comes to mechanics and throwing the football, I don't listen to people on Twitter. I go to Greg Pennelly, and he's talked to me a lot about, you know, some of these wobbly balls that Trey Lance might throw. And he talks to me sometimes about, like, you know, locking your wrist in a certain way. And when I would throw a ball, and then they're like, no, your wrist, you know, he has a person that works with him as well, Thomas, and he's like, you know, lock your wrist here and then let it go here. And then, boom, I do it. And, I mean, you just see drastic difference in the way the ball came out of my hand, the pop of the ball, like all of that. And I was like, whoa. Like, and I could see, like, man, if I did this for 8 weeks straight, like, I'd be all right throwing the football. You know? Hold on, Greg. I want to ask you about that. We have to go to break. We were supposed to talk about all these other prospects, and I want to get to Trey Lance's mechanics since we got you on here, just okay, so you can hear certain things that you feel like he needs to really hone in on and work on in this offseason from what you saw last year.
By the way, at @Greg_Pennelly on Twitter, Pennelly Passing Academy. But first, we've got to let the folks know about Built Bar, which is the best tasting protein bar on the market. We're talking 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs, and a whopping 17 grams of protein in Built Bars. Yet they're able to have flavors like Brownie Batter Puff, which is a specialty flavor you can find right now at built.com. What are puffs, you say? Well, they're the first ever protein infused marshmallow, fluffy marshmallowy treat. It is not just a protein bar. It makes you feel good that you're eating it, not because it's healthy for you, but also because it tastes delicious and is covered in 100% real chocolate. Puffs are a fan favorite with all the incredible flavors, not only the brownie batter puff, but some of the classics as well, like mint brownie and cookies and cream. I love the peanut butter flavor. If you're not sure what flavor you want, you can get a mixed box as well at built.com. All you have to do is get over to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15. You will get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. I do want to say, Croc, I commend you on your pro day, because what was clear about it, if people already didn't know, who follow you on Twitter and have seen you kick field goals in Crocs, if they couldn't tell by that, then they could at least tell by this that you are a true athlete. And the ball did pop out of your hands pretty well, like more zip than you expected from his arm, Greg.
I honestly wasn't expecting. I know I've seen Croc throw back in the day, and everybody thinks they can throw a football. So I was like, you know, I haven't seen it in a while. But yeah, Croc kind of surprised me. He had a little bit of zip on the ball. It wasn't that bad. Look, he's trying not to smile right now, but he's like, yeah, I'm really that dude on the inside. I know what he's saying. He's like, yeah, that's me. I knew what I could do. I just had to show everybody.
Look, you know mechanics better than Croc and I do. So what did you see from young Trey Lance in his rookie season? And do you think that there's a lot of work to do yet for Trey Lance? He hasn't played a lot of football. Is that something that's, you know, he's one off season away from being, you know, right there where he needs to be as an NFL quarterback?
Yeah, I think that there's and not just me, I think the community as a whole, and I think obviously the Niners have him down with quarterback trainers in Southern California. So he's not with Quincy right now. He's with quarterback trainers in Southern California that work with guys like Stafford and Goff, and worked with Breeze and Brady and those types of guys. And he's been down there the last few weeks. I think it's going to be like 8 weeks total leading up to OTAs. So I'm curious to see. And again, I haven't seen videos. I don't think anybody has posted any videos of him throwing. And I'm not sure if that's the Niners that have asked about it, but I follow those quarterback coaches. And I haven't seen any videos on Trey Lance throwing. Otherwise, I would have given you guys something. But I'm assuming they're going to try and get rid of that little hitch in his motion where he'd raise the ball up and then go down like we talked about before, where it's just that wasted motion. Instead of getting that ball back in one fluid path with the arm, he kind of has this hitch where he'll set it up and then down, and it just becomes longer than it should be. And again, that's part of a timing mechanism for Trey Lance, where most people might pat the ball back. They'll have the ball in their carriage and pat it back, and that's their timing mechanism. His would be up and then down, and it just wastes motion, wastes time getting the ball out. And even on his quick game, that was one thing I was going to say, and I talked about it with Croc. After the Texans game, there was a couple of quick throws where he did the same thing. Instead of just being able to maybe lift the ball, like I call it lifting or wet ball mechanics, where you just lift it and get it out quickly, he still kind of had that windup going on some of the shorter throws. And one of them, I think, went to the ground. It was like a flat route to Juszczyk or something like that. And he threw it into the ground, and he was late and behind. And there was a couple others. So I think being able – that's one thing that Jimmy's always done well. And anybody who watches Jimmy will realize his quick game mechanics are probably top three, I think, in the NFL as far as how quick he can get the ball out. And we see it, and it's kind of one of those things where you hold your breath every week sometimes when he'll throw it, but he'll fit the ball in these tight windows. But from the ball carriage to the release of the football, he's top three, and I know he ain't three as far as how fast he gets the ball out. But I'm very interested to see. I think getting Trey's feet tied into his arm, the sequencing tied in where his front foot's on the ground and where is his arm at and how are the hips going to fire. I think all those things are something he's probably working on, or I know he's working on, because the people he's with are biomechanics gurus. It's Tom House, which is the he's Nolan Ryan's old pitching coach. I think USC funded him a while back, and he became like this doctor of biomechanics there at the university and started taking the relationship between quarterbacks and hitters and pitchers and the biomechanics of rotational athletes and broke it down. And now he's training a bunch of quarterbacks and has quarterback coaches underneath him. But he still works with a ton of MLB pitchers as well. He's just trying to tie in everything from a sequencing and biomechanics standpoint to how can you maximize the most power and efficiency, delivering the most accurate ball, and tie all those things together. But as I know, 8 weeks is a short amount of time when you're talking about trying to change mechanics. So when he gets back to OTAs, I'm very curious, and on-field stuff, I'm very curious on how those are going to change, unless he's working on it on a day-to-day basis, pre-practice, post-practice. But I know once he gets into the season, it wouldn't be surprising to me if a lot of those little habits come back to him. Just because it's such a work in progress and he's thrown like this for however many years, to try and change it in 8 weeks, I think is going to be a lot.
Yeah. And this is a lifelong process, right? Like guys that are like Tom Brady at 45 years old is still probably working on mechanics in the offseason.
And easily him and Drew Brees, they've been there every offseason. I think Tom Brady started going to him in 2010. So they're, and this is already after what Brady won 3 or 4 Super Bowls. He decides that I need to go to another quarterback coach, and he's been there since. So just trying to maximize the little things. And I think that's the biggest thing. What people don't realize is the guys that are elite in the game and want to be elite versus the guys in the middle of the pack or bottom of the pack is those guys want to be told something that's going to get them just a little bit better. How can I get that edge to get me a little bit better year after year to where I get to the top? And then when I get to the top, how can I get better than what I was last season?
Yeah, real quick. So they're asking, like, who has he trained? But you trained with Josh Allen, quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, a ton, right? Before anybody even knew who Josh Allen was. And what was one thing that you think kind of helped Josh Allen take his game to the next level? Do you think, like, he didn't have any issues with the way he released the ball? Or was it something with his feet or just the timing, like you said, timing of the feet to the throw and yeah, reading a defense? What was it that helped Josh Allen take his game to the next level?
Hold on, Greg. Let me rephrase that question. How did you make Josh Allen such a superstar NFL quarterback?
You have lots to do with that. I'm not taking the credit for that. He's Josh has worked with me in the offseason. The last offseason, he was here 2020. So he spent three or four months here in 2020. But then besides that, he's down in SoCal. That's where he lives. He does stuff with Jordan Palmer and some other quarterback coaches down there as well. But the biggest thing for him was fixing his feet, tying his feet into his throws. A lot of times when he'd throw the ball left, quick outs to the left, deep balls to the left, he'd swing his front side open. So the front shoulder, front hip would fly open, and then at that point you got to rely a ton on your arm versus tying in like that Dak Prescott drill where he's separating the upper half and the lower half, and everybody was saying, what the hell is he doing pregame or whatever it may be. That's just called dissociation, is separating the lower half from the upper half and being able to create power and torque from the right hip, just like a hitter, right? So being able to get your feet in line and tying all of those things together is what Josh really needed. He had the arm talent, but the accuracy issue started coming from utilizing only the arm instead of tying his feet into those throws as well. So a lot of people neglect where the feet might be, how short that front step is, how long the front step is, whatever it may be. But tying all of those things from a biomechanics standpoint and sequencing standpoint, if you would, together, that's kind of how you're going to get somebody who's maximizing the power. And then the touch ball, he found the touch ball. So he had the laser, the fastball, which we call one ball. And then your three ball would be like the fade shot, right? Josh found as, you know, as he got more confident in the league, being able to throw over one defender and drop it in front of safety. So we call that a layered throw, hard with an arc. Against the Niners, he did it, where he threw that ball over Fred Warner, zipped it right over Fred Warner, and then it fell right in front of the safety. They completed it. But him elevating his game to work on those throws, and those throws are the hardest to make, where you're layering it within like that 20 to 25 yard window over one defender, but in front of the safeties. So I think that was his biggest issue, the feet and then the layered throws. And he's worked a ton at it, so I give him credit.
Yeah, I think we've seen Trey Lance struggle on those two balls, as you call them. Like, the, yeah,
that ball, the Kittle, the one hand catch. See, yeah. Now knows how it never really kind of came down.
Yeah,
yep. it was a laser, but it kind of stayed up a little too long.
Yep. Yeah. So it's just when you throw a fastball like that, the difference between that and a layered ball is, you know, you're still accelerating your hand, just releasing a little bit sooner, and it should turn over. But when it doesn't, you got to be perfect. So if you're going to throw a fastball, you got to be perfect, right? If you throw a layered ball, you give the receiver a little bit more time to adjust to it, okay? Then you throw your three ball, your go ball, you get an opportunity, whether you got to turn around, track it, whatever it may be. So you're giving receivers more of an opportunity to see it. But, you know, a lot of kids can throw the one ball, right? And a lot of kids can throw the go ball. You can go to a park and watch somebody throw a go ball all day. But how can I get somebody – to be able to layer a football where their feet might not necessarily be underneath me, coil up the front side and create that power, or then do it on platform, off platform, on the run, whatever it may be. Those are all things that we build into our training sessions week in and week out.
Can talented young Trey Lance make some Josh Allen-like strides over the course of this offseason? It's a big offseason for Lance. I want to thank Greg Pennelly at Greg_Pennelly. Pennelly Passing Academy joining us on the program. Another Central Valley kid, just like Croc and I, just like Josh Allen. Central Valley doing big things as it pertains to the football world right now, and especially on this podcast, Locked On 49ers. Greg, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks for jumping on, and thanks for working out Greg or Eric Crocker and showing us what kind of athlete this dude is that I'm working with on a daily basis.
Absolutely. We got more coming. We got a little swag video that we got coming for Croc too. We got a video pro day. So we're going to take a little mixtape tape for him and put it out there with some music on it for the whole world to see too. So.
Heck yeah. Well, next time he does one of those and he needs a move tight end to throw to, you can call me up and I'll have my drip on point for that one. My gloves will match my cleats for sure.
I'm ready for it. I appreciate right. you. Thanks for having me.
Beautiful. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it, man.
See you guys.
And as you can tell by Croc's pro day, a really good quarterbacks coach, right?
He is. It's one thing to kind of know that they talk about these things. Sometimes I hear him talk about it, but when you can feel the difference, when he just tells you one thing to do and he's like, hey, coil up this way and then do this and keep your wrist locked here. And then boom, you're doing it. It's like, whoa, like you can feel the difference. You can see the difference in the accuracy and things like that. That's when you know, man, like, hey, this guy's a really good teacher.
Luke Fortner, Kentucky center, another guy that would have been in that pro day at Kentucky, could be a future 49er. Wandale Robinson, maybe a future.
He said he said Wandale is a guy. He said Wandale, just watching him, he said the way he moves, and he said, dude, he's a burner. He's in and out of the break. Like, he raved about Wandale Robinson.
We got to get to Wandale Robinson at some point on the pod and talk scouting reports, but let's get to a couple of these guys that we planned on doing today. I know we kind of sprung Greg Pennelly on there last minute. Croc didn't know that he was coming on, but Greg wanted to roast Croc a little bit on his swag. But I think everybody knows you can't lie to the folks out there. The film is out there, right? If you go watch the tape, you know what kind of pro day Croc threw down,
QB1. Hey, real quick, when doing that, because people can say jokes and stuff, first of all, it's live. You know, like, that thing is live, and if I throw a bad pass, like, it's a bad you can't go back and fit, like, the pressure that's kind of on knowing that people are actually going to see this. It's not, and just throwing the ball, it seems easy. NFL guys make it seem easy, but I throw a drive throw and people are like, oh, you lean that guy, you let him, oh, the safety's gonna be waiting there. But it's like, I'm not gonna lie, dude, those drive throws, I have a whole new respect for Jimmy Garoppolo and the way he's able to kind of drive that ball over the middle there, because it's difficult. Because if you're off just a little bit, you leave a guy like that out there to dry, and it's tough.
Okay, as promised, we are going to hit some scouting reports on NFL draft prospects, Baylor safety / nickel Jalen Petrie and USC edge rusher Drake Jackson. Petrie, let's start there with our prospect profiles here, Crocs. I know you've watched a lot of DBs, And Jalen Petrie's a popular player for 49ers mock drafts in the second round. If he gets there, he might go a little bit higher in the second round. Would he be a player the 49ers would maybe even want to trade up for? He could play a little nickel, play a little safety. The 49ers have a need at strong safety. They have a need potentially at nickel as well. And the Baylor Pro Day finally went down earlier on this week, and he had a nice little workout. Reports anywhere between 4.44 in the 40 and 4.51 in the 40. And we already know he's got the quicks, and he's an instinctive player. So what are your thoughts? What do you see in Baylor defensive back Jalen Petrie? Is he a fit for the 49ers in the second round?
I think he is a fit, but maybe not quite the fit most fans think. I think they think like, oh, that's just a plug and play at safety, and he can do everything that Tart did. I'd say Tart showed a lot more versatility on film, being more of a two high and a safety that could come down into the box and do all those type of things, play physical against the run and pass. I think that what I'm seeing from Petrie is, at least on film, and that's how it projects to me, but maybe he can do other things. He's a nickel to me, and he's more of a true box safety. Like most safeties, if you ask them, are you a box safety or free safety, strong? Like, he's like, dude, I'm a safety. You know, but he's a true kind of guy that worked around a box. Almost like, you know what? Here's a good example. Jamal Adams. He was more Jamal Adams than he was Jaquiski Tart, where he played a lot. They sent him on a lot of blitzes. He worked well there against the run. He played some nickel stuff, more match stuff, not pure man a whole lot, at least from the film I've seen, but a lot more match where if a guy comes into his area, he carry that. If a guy goes away, he passed it off. I thought he showed fluid hips and ability to kind of flip and turn and make some plays on the ball. But he's more Jamal Adams than he is Jaquiski Tart.
Interesting. So he's a safety slash edge rusher. That's kind of what Jamal Adams is. That's what I picture when I see Jamal Adams. Because a lot of people call Petrie the next sort of, and it's hard to put this on him, but they compare him to Tyrann Mathieu. You don't see that style of player?
No.
5'11", 198 at the combine for Jalen Petrie. He did throw down the 4.4s at his pro day. He had a 35-inch vertical jump, 16 reps on the bench press, really nice agility, 6.74 3-cone, and a 4.18 20-yard shuttle. So he's got some short area quickness. He's got some instincts, but yeah, played a lot around the box. Does that make him a strong safety? Niners like to interchange a lot. I have a feeling, Croc, that the safeties you like for the 49ers are going to be guys that you are okay with not only playing near the box, but also playing in center field, right?
Right. And again, nothing wrong with, and maybe he could do more. That's the thing. I don't know. But mostly what I saw was more Jamal Adams than Tart, who Tart play in the box, single high, too high, you know, he did right. All of it.
It's tough because with someone like Petrie, maybe he impacts the game more if you get him closer to the line of scrimmage. So they didn't let him do some of the things he could have done. Because you look at his workout numbers, you look at how he moves, you know, 5'11", 198, that's a very different body type than Jamal Adams and some of those other box safeties. You would think he would be able to do more in reverse, but he just didn't get a chance to show it. So there's some projection there. And there was a ton of projection. I mean, there's always a ton of projection into the NFL from college players. But when you watched someone like Fred Warner play in college, I thought Fred Warner was going to be, you know, at most an outside linebacker. He played almost an overhang strong safety. He almost played that same position, right?
Yeah, same position. Nickel, yeah. He'd play out there in space. And he goes out there first preseason game, I think it was against Houston. He's middle linebacker. Mike with a green dot on his helmet.
Exactly. Yeah, he's kind of thin. It's like, oh, this guy's an outside linebacker all day. And they actually had Reuben Foster playing the will. And they had a guy who's 230 pounds playing middle linebacker. So they projected that and he was all about it. So, you know, how smart is Jalen Petrie? How does he look in workouts when they asked him to do some of those things? I think that will be key. And I think he's checked off most of the boxes though, athletically. So a nice little pro day time for him in the high 4.4s, which is solid. But there's a ton of other players, a ton of other prospects at safety too, that the 49ers could be looking at. And look, Jalen Petrie might not even be there. I'm seeing right here in the comments, Nick Cross out of Maryland. He's actually on our list. We did not get a chance to watch him enough. Next week, we will definitely talk about Nick Cross. We'll talk about Cam Thomas. We'll talk about a bunch of different guys. But the other prospect I want to talk about today, who I've also seen at 61, I think he was in the latest Barrows mock, actually, to the 49ers at 61. And that is USC edge rusher Drake Jackson. Really interesting prospect to me. And I think if I had to If I had to break down what I thought about Drake Jackson after watching more of him, it was that he left me wanting more, because 50% of what I saw from him I loved, and 50% of it was like, man, I don't know if you can have him on the field, because I don't think he's got the lower body explosion, the lower body power to hold up against the run. I never saw any speed to power really with his rushes. Everything was, man, I'm an athlete. He looks the part too. Length, 34-inch arms. He's over 6'3", 254 pounds, big hands. You see him out there. He's like, okay, that's what you want your edge rusher to look like, right? And, you know, he almost looks like Danielle Hunter out there. That would be my comp for when he's playing well and when he's winning as a pass rusher. The problem is I just didn't see anything except him running the arc. He was just running the arc all day long outside, just trying to beat the offensive tackle off the edge. And he's got bend, and he can do it, and he won a lot, and he was pretty productive. But I didn't see much against the run that made me think he was going to be able to handle every down duties as a defensive end. And I never saw any speed to power with his rushes. And I really feel like you can't run the arc all day in the NFL. You have to show some speed to power, which is why a prospect like Trayvon Walker might go as high as number one overall in the draft, even though he didn't have a ton of sacks in college. Alden Smith had 3 sacks in college his final year. But you see that power, the violent hands, right? And young Alden Smith was a pup. He gets in the NFL, and he's pushing these grown-ass men, these offensive tackles, into the quarterback's face with his punch and his power and that those violent hands. And Drake Jackson doesn't show any of that, and it doesn't show that the lower body power either. So I worry that the speed to power wouldn't be there. And so maybe he could become sort of that Harold Landry-ish sort of light edge rusher. But I think for sure early in his career for the 49ers, he would be just purely a situational pass rusher and a guy who's flying off the edge and really just trying to win around the corner. And it's going to be even more difficult to win around the corner against NFL offensive tackles than college offensive tackles. So overall, I like Drake Jackson, and I think it's about the area he should and will go, but I don't think I'm fighting, crawling to try to get up and trade up to draft him. And I have a feeling there'll be a prospect I like more than Drake Jackson at 61. And really, Croc, when I think about Jackson, I think about the 49ers bringing in Kamoko Touré, and he's kind of a similar style of player. And he was that prospect 4 years ago. So I think that might be the 49ers telling us, look, this is what these guys are that we're looking at drafting at 61. Let's go a different direction than edge rusher in the draft and go sign someone like Touré, who's the same style of player. And maybe there's more meat on the bone with this NFL free agent that his career didn't go right for him with some injuries and some other things early on.
Well, my only pushback on that would be you do want a little bit of a long-term answer. Right now, you have everybody entering the last year of their contract. So after the season ends, it's like you're going to have Nick Bosa and Armstead. Like, that's it, right? So drafting a guy at 61 that you think, you know what, a Drake Jackson, who is like, you know what, he has the ability. I like him. You know, we need to add a little bit more to his game, but he doesn't necessarily have to be the full product year one. But going into year two, now we're going to put more responsibility on you because we lose a minute who we lose everybody. Everybody,
right? Yeah, they're all everybody but Bosa, and even Bosa is going in to his fifth year option, right? So everybody, the 49ers are going to be losing after this year, or at least their contract is going to be up. So it would be really nice for them to have had that guy and develop him. And if you've got some bigger ends, you got a minute who you've got yeah, I mean, there's multiple players the 49ers could throw in there on an early down basis, and there is enough potential there with Drake Jackson. And you could dare to dream and say, look, let's just get him in the weight room, have him squat a whole bunch of weight, right? Like, you just build that lower body strength and continue to develop his pass rush moves, because he's already got that ability and the flexibility at his size that you can't teach. So he has some of that stuff. If you could teach the rest, get him a little bit stronger, teach him how to use some other moves a little bit instead of just trying to win around the corner. Like one rush, it was ridiculous because he was on the lineup as left defensive end, and he's trying to beat the right tackle around the corner. And then the running back comes to help out the tackle on the outside of the tackle. And so instead of trying to split him or, you know, spin back inside or do something, he even tries to go around the running back too. So he's just like trying to loop around everybody. And he's like, he ends up going around all of them, but he's so far behind the play at that point. And it's like, what are you even doing, man? So he's got to learn some more things. But his athleticism, his burst, and his flexibility at his size, you know, his length, his long arms, like, that's prototype. And you can't teach that. So I could see a team like the 49ers dare to dream and say, like, look, we'll teach this guy to rest, but the rest, but this is the hardest part to teach, is this flexibility at this size for someone like Drake Jackson. And who knows, I guess, in some ways I liked Harold Landry more, but that would be somewhat of a comp for what Drake Jackson could be in the NFL.
Yeah. And well, Drake Jackson, Harold Landry was someone people were projecting to go first round. So different type of prospects from that standpoint. I think they're viewed a little different. Drake Jackson, I think, is more of a true day two pick, but he is a guy that you're more likely going to get at 61 as opposed to someone who just comes in and just gives you everything. Like, that guy's going first round.
And if you take an edge in the second round, if there's a guy on the board at 61, he's not going to be perfect. Those guys are going to go in the first round. So you have to teach him something. Either they're not going to be athletic and bendy enough to win around the edge in the NFL, and you're hoping they're going to win with skill and technique. Maybe they're going to be more of a big end that kicks inside, or maybe they're going to be a lighter edge rusher, a stand-up type. I see Nick Benito. I saw him in the chat already today. I've seen a lot of 49ers fans asking about Nick Benito, and we'll get a little bit deeper into him. But again, another he's even smaller than Drake Jackson. And it's just a speed guy off the edge that might not be your every down end. But if you can collect sacks and pressure the quarterback on third down, I don't care if you're playing. I don't care where you are on first down. You can go be eating a hot dog on the bench for all I care. Like, if you can come just on third downs and be a beast off the edge, like, that's important and that's powerful. So in a lot of ways, those edge guys should be on the board for the 49ers at 61. But man, Drake Jackson, just because when you first start watching his tape, you're like, oh, this is exciting. And then you're like, oh, just left you wanting a little bit more.
Yeah.
Cool. Tons more prospects to get to by Croc and I as we lead up to the NFL draft in the next 3 weeks or so. We already have a list of names. I see a lot of the names in the chat, and we will continue to cover those as well. Croc, any last thoughts for those who weren't in at the beginning about the Debo drama, as Woody puts it here? I don't think it's drama at all. He scrubbed the 49ers from his Twitter bio and changed his Twitter picture, right? Or Instagram, or one of the two. I don't know. I laugh at it. I think it'd be funny if Debo, and this is what I would do if I was an NFL player, just because people take it so seriously, I'd be screwing with people all the time. I don't think there's anything to it. And look, he's under contract. So I'm not worried at all about Debo. He's going to stay a Niner. I'm confident. Yeah. Croc, same?
I'm very confident with that statement as well.
All right. So everyone, chill out. Don't worry about Debo's social media. Just make sure Croc keeps Locked On 49ers in his Twitter bio at Eric underscore Crocker. I'm at BD Peacock. Thanks everybody for jumping in on the live stream with us on this Thursday evening. Happy Friday morning to you. If you're in your car on your way to work, have a great weekend. Thanks for making us your first listen. For your second listen, check out Locked On NFL Draft. Check out the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. Croc and I back Monday right here. Locked On 49ers.
Peace.